Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The conscience is that innermost place of our thoughts and considerations. It is the seat of our moral consciousness and that from which we cannot escape. It is that which shall bear witness against us in the day of judgment. Apart from the great mercy and grace of God to give us a substitute, who shall also be our advocate in that great assize. The Lord is pleased to give unto his people a tender conscience, which causes them to confess with the psalmist, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. And to rejoice, even as Paul declared, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This tender conscience finds a place of solace in contemplating the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. They even confess that his word is true and his judgment is just, even if they are destroyed by it. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. A man with this tender conscience toward God must declare with Paul, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. We must confess with Peter when asked if he would depart from the Lord. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The scriptures speak of the conscience with several different adjectives, the most common being good. The term good conscience appears 6 times. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. We could probably substitute the word clear for good, since there is no hint of condemnation to that man who has a good conscience. He is satisfied with that which he professes. Even as Peter describes the act of water baptism as the answer of a good conscience towards God. The sons of God are not to be immersed in water in order to gain something, but rather because they are satisfied with that which Christ has done, wishing to be identified with him in his example and his command. We read of Paul saying he had a conscience void of offense in Acts 24:16, as he testified before Felix of his unshakable belief and the satisfaction in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was no doubt in Paul's mind of Christ seated on the throne of heaven, having risen from the dead and taken captivity captive. He was not reiterating some dogma he had learned in his youth, nor was he desiring to promote some tenet of religion, but rather spoke of that which his very heart and soul was clinging to the exclusion of all other foundations. Paul writes to Timothy of a pure conscience, as he describes the various qualities of those prepared to be deacons, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. Any believer, but especially those who would execute this noble calling, must not be double-minded nor double-tongued, that is, speaking one thing while doing another. The mystery of the faith is revealed as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Also that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the gospel, since the Lord's elect come from every kindred, tribe, and tongue. There is no place of sectarianism among the sons of God due to race or ethnicity. Paul speaks of this same pure conscience when he confesses to be in prayer for Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. This pure conscience is faith unfeigned. Quite in contrast to this good conscience, conscience void of offense, and pure conscience, Paul also describes a seared conscience, a defiled conscience, and an evil conscience. Those who are quite overtaken in their own deceit are those with a conscience seared with a hot iron, that is, one which exhibits no remorse and is blind. They are those who speak lies in hypocrisy and promote seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These are those latter times of which he speaks, even as he warned Timothy of this in his day. Those who deny the supremacy and complete salvation wrought by Christ for his elect bride are in such a condition from which they cannot extricate themselves. A defiled conscience is that which turns from the freedom purchased by Christ to embrace the beggarly elements of touch not, taste not. An evil conscience is that which causes men to desire some message other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. This same evil conscience is that which would keep a man from resting in the full and free redemption of Christ. What kind of conscience have you been given?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.